All right, brethren, we're going to be in Romans chapter 11 this morning. Romans chapter 11. I'd like to go through the first seven verses, Romans 11 verses 1 through 7. Now, Paul had made some very strong statements. He was quoting from the Old Testament. He was quoting Moses and Isaiah concerning what they had to say regarding the nation and people of Israel. Let's see that real fast. Romans 10, verse 19. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. All right, so here Moses is declaring what the Spirit of God has revealed to them, how that God is going to send this gospel out to the Gentile nations such that it would provoke Israel to jealousy. But it wasn't really clear how the Lord would do this. And so in verse 20, we read of Isaiah, who is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, but to Israel. Right? So there we see the declaration of grace apart from works. They didn't seek the Lord. None of us seeks the Lord. But in grace and power, our God reveals himself to them who weren't even seeking after him. And that's true of every one of us. Right? None of us can lay claim to saying, well, I sought him. I did it my way. I know that even us here, when we're clouded in our minds and our thoughts are elsewhere, and there's some here that maybe don't even believe the truth, yet our God is able, though we harden ourselves to the truth of God, he's able to break down those walls and those strong towers of the evil one and our own wicked flesh that would fight and war against him. He's able to break through with the gospel of Christ and shine in unto our hearts and reveal by faith the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And so to Israel he saith all day long. Now this is the people who understood how they were to worship God. They had revealed to them the oracles. They had the law. They had many outward blessings concerning how we are to approach our God. They had these things, but he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So that through Israel, we see how the Lord blessed the whole nation, as it were, the whole nation with that outward form of religion to seek the Lord, right, and to worship him. And he revealed that to them, but left them to themselves, to the nation as a whole, right? We'll see that there's a remnant within that nation that he revealed himself spiritually, but left to themselves, having all those outward blessings, that was insufficient to work salvation in them. That they couldn't take those things, those outward things, and actually use them to work a righteousness of their own. That should send a pretty strong and clear message to us that we're not going to get ourselves saved, right? We're not going to save ourselves or get ourselves saved. We are ever dependent upon the grace and mercy of God, and let us never forget it. May he always be pleased to reveal that to us and keep us humble and soft of heart with the faith of Christ dwelling in us, right? In our hearts, all right? So that's what our Lord's showing us there. That the natural man is never going to work salvation by his or her own hand and her works and what we've done. All right? And so left to ourselves, we will not believe God. And so Paul here in chapter 11, he returns to the theme that's been very prevalent in Romans, speaking about the election of grace. He returns now to the election of grace. And he explains, you know, that this is to reveal to us that it's our God who is both just and justifier of them which believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves his people. And we'll see in here, and this is important for us to get as we go into chapter 11, because there is a great deal of confusion in religion about what Paul might be saying here. And what he's showing us is that there is one salvation. There's one way of salvation for all of God's people. They're all saved by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none accepted. There's not some saved some other way. We're all either saved by Christ, by grace in Christ, or it's by works, and it's none of grace. Right? And so we'll see that. And it's also not two ways, one way for the Gentile in Christ, and then another way for Israel being natural born sons of Adam. Right? It's not two ways of salvation. It's not two roads that lead to heaven. It's one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've titled this, "The Remnant is Saved." The remnant is saved. All right, so we begin in chapter 11 with Paul addressing an error that might crop up in the minds of the people hearing him, right? He says at the very beginning, "I say them. I say them," right? He's, as he's speaking and declaring what Moses and Isaiah had said, there might be a thought that comes into our mind asking, well, has God cast away his people, Israel, then? Are they just now thrown out and now it's only going to the Gentiles? And that's what he says there. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Most emphatically, no. Absolutely not, he says. Now, what he means there is that the nation as a whole was not completely rejected. Right? We'll see that natural Israel is rejected and cast off, but there's a people even there in Israel that are yet his people, and he's not forsaking them. He has a people that he's calling out of the Jews through this gospel, just as he's sending it out into the Gentiles that sat in darkness. All right? As we see in Acts 1:8, the disciple of the Lord said, he says to his disciples, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So the Lord purposed and intended that all nations, including the Jews, would hear this gospel. They needed to hear it just as the Gentiles needed to hear it. And through the revelation of the Spirit of God, revealing faith in them, revealing Christ to his people, they're all called out, whether they're in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or some other part of the world. That's how our God saves. It's by grace. And so what we see in this is that we are to stop looking to the flesh. Right? And that means one thing sometimes to Jews, right, who are by the law trying to work a righteousness for themselves. And Gentiles may hear it differently, but the reality is we're all naturally listening and trying to do this in the flesh by some works that of righteousness that we think, all right, this is what God's looking for, and this is what I got to do to achieve that level that God's looking for. No, it's by grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. That's of the Jews as well as the Gentiles. So Paul had been teaching the rejection, the whole rejection of all Jews, he would have been putting himself in that same category. And he would have been accepting himself as well. He would have been cast out as well from the grace of God. And so to make this apparent, he gives his credentials. He begins to show how that he is of that natural stock of Israel, all right, and yet that God saved him. And he says there in verse 1, "I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And what he's saying there is, I'm not just some casual acquaintance with Israel. I didn't just grow up in Israel and therefore I call myself an Israelite. No, I really am a descendant, he's saying, from Abraham. And not just Abraham, but I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, I used to wonder, why does he always include this fact that he's of the tribe of Benjamin? Well, what he's saying there is, I'm of one of the tribes that didn't even rebel against the house of David. I know my line, my bloodline is untainted. I'm not a Samaritan, where they got all intermingled and mixed up with other breeds. I'm a true Jew. That's what he's saying there, to emphasize that this is, you know, what the Jews would be hoping for. This is a great line to boast in. And yet we know from Philippians 3:5, he brought it up to say, and yet that's all dumb. That doesn't give me any confidence. What I have in the flesh, I'm not boasting in it. So why are you boasting in things that you have of the flesh, he says to us, right? I'm not even looking to this great resume that I have here of being a son of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. I know my bloodline's clean, he's saying, and I can trace it back. And so in Philippians, he said, Philippians 3:5, I'll read it. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day, right, which is according to the law, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And there, that was to show I have no confidence in the flesh, but it's all dumb. And so, now what he's saying, though, is that neither as an Israelite or not being an Israelite, neither one of those things has any merit, right? Whether I'm an Israelite, that neither helps or hurts me, and whether I'm a Jew, a Gentile, that neither helps or hurts me. None of it is of any consequence, because it's all by the Lord's grace. It's all according to God's election, His choosing whom He will in grace. Right? That's what He's showing us there. It's all according to the election of grace. And this is really Paul's primary focus here, is to establish this understanding in us for His grace, you know, to know that it's of His grace and mercy. Excuse me. All right. So it's in relation to our election that God's people, right, the Israel of God versus natural Israel, it's in that relation. It's due to the fact that we're elected that we're not cast away from our God. Now look there in verse 2. Romans 11:2. He says, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Alright? Which He foreknew. And I emphasize that last phrase, which He foreknew, because that's the distinguishing mark by which we know the people that God's not cast away. Alright? That's a critical statement to our understanding of Romans 11 and what's taught here. And understand that he's defining, he's putting that mark of God around those that are the Lord's people. Now, we know from a previous study, right, back in May 31st, I looked it up, it was titled The Foreknowledge and Predestination of God. And it covered Romans 8, verse 29 through 31, right? So if you want to see more detail on the foreknowledge of God, you can go and listen to that again. But briefly, what we saw is that in the Scriptures, when the Lord speaks of foreknowledge in relation to His people, it's an intimate, eternal love for them. There is a sense in which God knows what will happen beforehand, but He knows what will happen beforehand because it's what He ordained. It's what He has ordained to come up to pass. So that's why He knows it's going to happen, because what He wills shall come to pass. All right, so he does. He does know that, right? It's he's not moved by the will of man, and then he reacts to it and says, oh, I see what this one's going to do. Let me therefore now bring them into my covenant of grace. No, that's works. And that's what it would be based on. If we moved God by our faith, the faith of the flesh, right? Instead, that faith by which we lay hold of Christ, believing him, receiving all the blessings of God, is a fruit of righteousness born in us by the Spirit of God, which he ordained beforehand. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this is all the Lord's work. And so when we come to foreknowledge, right, we understand that it's a loving affection. God has approval of their way, because our way is Christ. It's not trusting in the flesh, in the works of the flesh. Psalm 1:6 says this, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." He knows their way. He approves of their way. He loves their way, because it's Christ who is our righteousness, right? That's why he leads us in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. It's in Christ that we're led. But the way of the ungodly, that shall perish, right? The way of the ungodly shall perish. He doesn't know that way. He doesn't approve of that way. He doesn't love them, right? His love's not set upon them. And so we see this bond of intimate love and affection revealed through the scriptures, which is all born out of this foreknowledge of our God for his people. As we see in 1 Corinthians 8:3, Paul says, "If any man love God, the same is known of God." Right? God knows that man. And the reason why they love God is because he knows that he foreknew them. He predestinated them to this fellowship and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to make that more clear, I quote Galatians 4:9. "After that ye have known God," he says, or rather are known of God. Right? We know God because he knew us first. Just as he says, we love him because he first loved us. And so not every son and daughter of Adam is loved of him, but us whom he foreknew. They are the ones that are loved of God, and they love God in return because he works that salvation in them. All right, he bears it in them. And so God loves his people, and that's very different from how he speaks of the world, right, and the workers of iniquity. As he said in Matthew 7:23, "Then I will profess unto them," Christ sitting upon the throne of judgment, "will profess to them, I never knew you." And I never loved you. I never approved of your ways and your works. I never knew. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity," he says. And they go off into everlasting darkness because they have no part in the inheritance with Christ. But for those whom the Lord foreknew, it refers to that intimate love. That love and choosing them in eternity past and committing them, giving them to Christ as his bride, whom he loves and calls out of this darkness. In fact, in Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." He determined, he ordained that we should be conformed to the image of Christ, that he, our Savior, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so when Paul is speaking to the Romans here, as we continue in Romans 11 now, he's speaking to the Romans, he's teaching them that this foreknowledge of God for them is one that caused God to predestinate them. And not only to predestinate them, but to call them out of darkness into light. And that helps us. If you have a thought as we get into Romans 11 and you're wondering, well, is God, because they're sons of Abraham, even without any knowledge of Christ, going to save them anyway? No, not according to the Scriptures. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated, and whom he predestinated, then he also caused, right? And caused them to hear and to believe that gospel concerning Christ. Right? It doesn't leave his people in darkness, which is where Israel would be left if they were just children according to election, and God had no intention of bringing them to a knowledge of Christ. And I say that because, as you'll see, it can get people come away with that idea in Romans 11 here. All right, but he makes Christ known to them. And so he says God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Right? And so in other words, God hath not cast away his people of Israel, which he foreknew. So of all natural Israel, he has a people in there that he foreknew, and he hasn't cast them away. Right? He hasn't cast them away. And so those whom the Lord has cast away, they are the people of natural Israel. Right? They are the people of natural Israel. Those are cast out. Those are passed over by the Lord. Right? They're not of spiritual Israel. And that's true of both Jew and Gentile who have no part in Christ. They're passed over, they're cast out, they have no part in him. And then the reason why I know this and I'm so confident in it is that look at his example where he goes to Elijah with this to verify to us that this is exactly so. Right? Look at Romans 11:2. He says, "What ye not, or know ye not?" And you see that word, "what," it's "know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him?" Right? God didn't chasten him for fleeing or praying against Israel. He just taught him and corrected him so that he knew the truth. And God said unto him, "I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." Or in other words, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. There's a people. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. And so that 7,000 are reserved of the Lord for himself. And they've not gone off into the flesh and idolatry and wickedness, but his grace in Christ is sufficient for them, and they've not bowed the knee to Baal, and they are the Lord's. It's his reserved people for himself. And so Elijah there is praying against all of Israel, and yet the Lord God makes a distinction to Elijah, which Paul then highlights to us by the Spirit, making us to see that distinction that God made in quoting, "I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." And that seven means a perfect number. Right? A perfect number of the Lord's choosing, men and women, who didn't bow their knee to the image of Baal. And so, while that number may seem small in comparison to the whole of Israel, yet the Lord's saying it's much greater than what our natural eye thinks and sees. Right? It's much greater than what we see. And so that should be an encouragement to any preacher who thinks he may be the last one left in the world. No, not at all. Our God has his people, and they're not going to be cast away. He has those for whom he foreknew, and he shall raise up even of the stones children of Abraham to cry out to him and call upon him and worship him. Right? He can cause any one of us dead, hard, cold sinners to come to know and to understand and believe the salvation of our God. And that should be a comfort to any one of us who wonders, "Lord, would you have mercy upon me?" Oh, he's able. He is able to raise up even from our dead, cold, stony hearts, hearts of flesh that are tender and liable to his working and his hand to reveal himself and to perform his will and work in Christ in them. All right, now this aligns perfectly with what Paul then says in verse 5. He says, verse 5, even so then, brethren, seeing that our God saves his people, even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So while the nation of Israel, natural Israel as a whole, has rejected Christ, has rejected the word of God and said, I don't believe that. I think I can do this. I think I got this. I think I understand what I got to do, and I'm going to keep doing my religion, and you're going to accept it. You'll see. You'll see this will be perfect. But the Lord says, nope, I have a people that I've delivered from that and preserved for myself by my spirit, by the blood of my son, and in grace I have mercy upon them, and I call them out of that darkness to see and believe what Christ has accomplished for his people as their substitute, as their savior, as the one who shed his blood for their sins to cover us of our iniquity and to deliver us from the guilt and the condemnation that we deserve for our own works of unrighteousness. So Isaiah, you know, he thought he was the last saint left, but God said, nope, there's a remnant. And not all Israel is Israel, right? But there's a remnant whom he saves. And so Paul is saying, I'm not the only Jew. Right? Elijah thought he was the only true Jew left, but we see that he wasn't. And I know by the revelation of the Spirit, Paul says that I'm not the only Jew today, but there's many that the Lord has reserved to himself. He has a people that he foreknew that he's not cast away. And he said something like this earlier back in Romans 9. If you want to look there since we're close. Romans 9, verse 27 and 28. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. Right? Though natural outward Israel be so great a number as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. This is always the will and purpose of God. His word hasn't taken none effect, but it's gone forth in accomplishing the very will and purpose of our God exactly as he intended it. And he says he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And what the Lord is showing us here is that salvation is according to his grace. It's according to the grace which he's revealed in his son Jesus Christ. It's apart from our works. Right? Not that we look to go and abuse his kindness and grace and mercy to us, but he's given us his spirit whereby he teaches us and he strips those things from each of us as it pleases him and uses us according to the measure of faith which he's given to each member in his body to minister and to serve our God and one another in this local body here. All right? And so it's either all of grace or it's all of works. There's not a mixing of the two. The two are mutually exclusive, meaning that you can't have a little of this one and a lot of that one, or 50-50, or a lot of this one and a little of that one. It's one or the other. It's either all of grace or all of works. And by that, the remnant is saved according to the election of grace. All right? And so we see this, you know, when you are struggling and wondering, well, is there something for me to do? Well, how about Romans 11:6, which says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. All right, so it's one or the other. Now, our Lord says to us that this salvation, this understanding that we have, it didn't come by works. It doesn't come through the flesh, but it's revealed in His grace. It's a spiritual birth. We're not going to know this and believe our God based on just that natural seed of which we come forth of Adam, right? With our natural understanding. We need the Spirit of God to reveal this to us, to deliver us from that body of sin in Adam, and to give us life and a new birth in Christ, giving us life in the inner man, which is born of the spiritual seed of Christ. And so he says in John 1:13, which were born, spiritually born, not of blood, right? It's not going to be passed down to your kids from you. The Lord has to reveal salvation in them. Just as for you that believe, the Lord had to reveal it in you. It doesn't matter whether your parents believed or didn't believe. He reveals according to grace as it pleases Him. So they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Right? It's not our free will that believes apart from God. He's the one that gives true spiritual faith. Nor of the will of the man, right? We can't wish it upon those that we love or care about. But rather it's of God. It's a spiritual work that we can't affect or alter or change. Right? All we do is cry out and beg for mercy, seeing just how impossible it is for our flesh to do it. And so by the moving of the Spirit, not only do we fall upon our faces and cry out, but there will be a continual crying now, right? We'll continue to stay upon Him and say, Lord, if You don't keep me, I know I'm falling away. And it could be a terrifying thing when the Lord allows us to see that too. And it can be frightful. And He does allow that at times so that we are humbled and learn not to do despite His grace. But He does it all perfectly and excellently. All right, so there's one hope of salvation, right? One hope of salvation, and it's found in none but the Lord Jesus Christ, whom our God faithfully sent into the world for this work. Hebrews 1:3 says, speaking of Christ, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. See, He doesn't need our participation. He doesn't need our works. He's not waiting for us to do a little of our part so that then He can be gracious. He's affecting the whole thing, even as we see what He accomplished when He by Himself purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That is in power and authority and glory. Now, executing and implementing the will of God in the hearts of His people here on the earth without fail. He's doing it. So if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Alright, so the point is, God hath not cast away His people of Israel, which He foreknew. That's how they're distinguished from all of natural Israel. He has a people that He foreknew, and He's not cast away His true spiritual Israel, for whom the Son shed His blood and died in their place as their substitute, as their surety. And there's only one people, and they're saved one way in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We're the ones that build up that wall and look at Jew and Gentile. Right? But it's Ephesians 2, I believe, where Paul speaks of that wall, that middle wall partition being torn down by the blood of Christ. We're all saved one way. We're one man in the body of Christ. Alright? And in Galatians 6:15 and 16, Paul writes, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, right? That back then would speak of the Jews, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Right? But a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, you that believe God, and know that it doesn't matter if I was naturally a Jew and circumcised, or naturally a Gentile and not circumcised, or even a Gentile who is circumcised. None of that is what saves us. And as many as walk according to this rule, believing Christ is all my hope, and I have no confidence in the flesh, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. All right, that's the distinguishing factor. They're a spiritual seed, whether of Jew or Gentile. That is the Israel of God. Those are the people that love the Lord by His glory and power. And so they are the new creature created by Christ. And they are that Israel of God. All right, and then we just close with Romans 11:7. What then, Paul asks, what's the conclusion then? Israel, the nation of natural Israel, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Right? Because he's doing it by the works of the flesh. But the election, the remnant, which is the spiritual seed of Israel, hath obtained it, and the rest were blind. And so as you go through Romans 11, just carry that truth forward throughout the whole thing. Spiritual Israel, God will not fail to save them. He has not cast them off whom he foreknew, but the rest, everyone outside of Christ, Israel, whether they're a natural Jew or a natural Gentile, the rest were blind. And so you that do believe, even though you feel it to be a tiny amount of faith, but you that have no hope in your flesh or in your works, keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for that faith, that little bit of faith, because if it's true, it'll remain fixed in Christ. And you'll keep looking to Him. And when you cease looking to Him, He'll turn your eyes back upon Christ the Savior and keep you looking to Him. And so thank Him and count it a precious thing, because not all have it. As we'll see as we go through, looking at the branches being broken off and removed, the other ones grafted in, it's all of His grace and power. So I pray that proves to be a help to us today and as we go through Romans 11.